FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
Baby, you're right.
All right. That's how we're doing it?
Oh, yeah. I can give you what you want,
but you got to come home to me. All right. Welcome into Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here, my partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory.
Good morning.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to you. And Chad Ellis, our...
Hello, hello.
Our wonderful producer who is dressed to impress today.
Was it old song Dressed in Black? Was that? Who's that?
He's the man in black. Chad Ellis, he's got his tie on.
It's a floral print tie.
You know, I know,
it's
but
it's pretty nice. Huh?
A tie.
Yeah, I agree.
It's very
I like
nice.
It.
Thanks.
Wearing a tie in a radio studio.
I asked him what was going on.
No sense to know.
I was like, dude, you got an interview today? You leaving us?
He is. That must be it.
No.
Moving on to bigger and better things.
That's right.
Outside of 2A Radio, number one show on the weekends on 97.1 FM
you know
Talk, St. Louis.
Got a. Go ahead.
I was just going to say this is accurate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There he is. He's out of here. He's
what?
Gone.
What?
No,
is he?
No.
He's
no.
Talking about accurate about this.
One. Number one.
Right. I was giving him crap like he's accurate about leaving us.
We had an awesome customer walk in the store yesterday evening.
Yeah.
His name's Jack. So, Jack, if you're listening, thanks for coming in. His wife was getting a haircut. We've got a hair studio just down from us. And so he went to look at guns. So he comes in, and we're just talking, and I mentioned the radio show to him, and he was like, you guys got a radio show? I'm like, yeah, man, you should check it out. And he's like, can you write that down for me? So I give him a business card, you know, and then we ended up, you know, we close at 6.
Right.
7:30, 7:45, we're locking the door and walking out. His wife was out in the parking lot wandering around looking for him. She went to the Harbor Freight because, you know, Harbor Freight's just a couple of doors down.
Right.
She's like, I walked all through Harbor Freight and I couldn't find you. And I was like, well, he's either at Harbor Freight, the gun store, or the auto parts store, you know.
Right, right.
At least it's on this side. So
that's
anyway,
great.
He says he's going to come back in. We're going to talk more. He's kind of into some of the same firearms I am. So it was kind of a cool conversation.
That's awesome.
And that's you know, I keep telling people that we're not here to sell you. I mean, we are here to sell you guns, right? But we're here to develop that long-term
right.
relationship and get to know you and what you like and everything else. And then
you're there to sell them a gun when they want a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there to pressure them into getting something that they aren't sure that they want.
Right.
Not.
So
that's perfect.
So it was a good deal. We had a private lesson this week with a lady. This has only happened like twice ever in our CCW classes. Wasn't able to qualify. She's got a medical issue, so did a little like one-on-one stuff with her mm-hmm. just to build it up. I think she's got like MS, so she's mm. pretty weak and stuff. So, but you know, just
so trying to get her up to
yeah.
Up to
she's
speed.
She's a good shooter, but I can tell she gets tired quick. So mm-hmm. it was like, you know, man, there's no rush here, right? You know, we've
right.
got
right.
we got plenty of time. So just mm. take your time and. You know, make it count. If you got to put the gun down and rest, I get it. It's
yeah.
no big deal. So, so we got her through, which was awesome. Like I said, we had to just do a little remedial stuff with her. But you know, the form was great. It was just, I think she was just trying to shoot. You know, I tell everybody when we get in the classes because we've had several classes; they've been pretty full too. It's not a race, right? Shoot three rounds, see where you're hitting, and I come by and I go, "Yep, you're grouping really well." Go ahead and shoot all 20, and I no more say that, and they've wrapped off the 17 rounds that
right.
are left, you know?
Right,
and
right.
I'm like, what? Like, it's not a race. Like, you know, and then one person hears it, so what does the next person do?
They
you know,
do it, too.
They do it, too, and it's not a race, guys. Like, make it count. I get it. It seems like it's really cool, and you're making a lot of noise, but
right.
make it count. You know, yeah. why? I mean, I get it. You know, you got a margin of error. You know, you can hit 75%. That's 15 out of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right.
like, take your time.
That's
you know,
right.
Get them all in there
mm-hmm.
and get a good tight group. So it's always interesting, you know, and it's never the women either. The women are always very methodical. So they're fun to teach.
Yeah.
I really like teaching women. So
yeah.
they're... Every step, man, that's like, man, you rock. You know
yeah.
that? You're checking everything before you even press that trigger.
Guys are like thinking that they're,
Like it's the Wild West.
No, not even the Wild West. Keanu Reeves.
John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick, or you know,
that's funny.
The Matrix movies. Take your pick. Yeah. It is what it is. So I mean, I get it. I guess I get it. I don't know. I probably was like that too when I was a younger shooter.
That's a great story about spending that much time talking to that guy and sort of developing a friendship and a relationship with him. Not just gun stores. What other store would at closing time just spend time to continue to talk to a customer and get to know them? And I mean, I think that's a great microcosm of the kind of customer service you guys do at Southern Armory.
I appreciate that. You know, and it was funny. I was like, "Are you on Facebook, man?" He's like, "Ah, no, my wife is." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, well." You can find me on Facebook. Never send me a friend request or whatever. I got a lot of buddies' wives that are friends.
That's funny.
You know, because they get on there and peruse, you know.
Right.
But, it was fun. You know, it's a cool guy, you know. And that's the other thing, too, is, you know, you come in the shop and you spend, you know, 30, 40 minutes. We're going to remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee it, you know. And Piper has her regular customers that come in and see her, you know. And, like, literally, they're hitting the door and she's like, "Hi!"
Right.
Like screaming and running around the counter to get to him, you know, and I just laugh. And then Ancha, our German Shepherd, she's been there since she was 7 weeks old. She's got her regular customers that come in.
That's great.
And then she will lead them back to the dog bones and get a dog bone from them and then walk them around the store. And then, like, "Oh, you're going to leave. You're checking out. Cool. You gave them money. Come over and give me another dog bone real
quick." That's right. That's awesome.
And then Ancha's also got our delivery drivers trained, UPS and FedEx, too.
Yeah.
And our mail carrier. So it's funny when we get a sub in, you know, because somebody got, you know, reassigned or, you know, temporarily.
Or taking a day off.
Yeah, day off, vacation or whatever. And they'll come in and they're like, "Oh, you know, why is this dog following me?" And like, it's like, "Oh, she wants a dog treat." "Oh, that would explain that box in the truck." And it's like, yeah, if you give her one, you know, normally she gets one at the door and then, you know, she shows you where the packages go, and then you give her another one because she's good, right? She's showing you where to put stuff, and then she walks you out, and you give her another one, and so they'll be like, "I'll be right back." So then they walk out, you know, and Ancha's like, "I don't get it. Did I do something wrong?" You know, and then she sees him come back, and they slip her a bone. You know, she's used to getting like three.
Yeah.
You know, she's so spoiled. I hate to say that about, you know, my dog or my daughter, but I mean, Ancha probably gets, I'm not lying to you, 10, 12 treats a day.
Like, good for her.
Like, how do you have all these customers and delivery people trained? Like, really?
I don't know what to do.
This is awesome.
That is awesome.
You know, we've been in that store now for, you know, 7 or 8 years. So it's, you know, I mean, the regular customers know, you know, like, "Hey, she gets a treat."
Right.
You know, and it's really bad when they start bringing her in, like, dog ear, or not dog ears, but pig ears and, like, other toys. You know, I'm just like, really? And now we have Piper. So one of our customers bought her a tank.
Huh.
Yeah. This is one of Piper's, like, favorite customers who she's screaming
customers.
Hi to whenever he hits the door. But he bought her a tank around Christmas time.
That's awesome.
And Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know. Yeah, it's probably about right. And it's like you can ride on it and you pull this lever and it shoots balls. And my wife's like, "Great, now I'm going to get shot up cooking." And
right.
So, like, me and my daughter, we have fun, you know.
That's cool.
So, but, yeah, great, great customers. And, you know, I don't even, you know, it's like,
family atmosphere.
Right. I mean, I almost want to say it's like, you almost look at them like, you know, like close friends and family, especially the ones we see on a regular basis that we know so much about.
Right.
You know, so that's just the kind of thing I don't think you're going to get anywhere else.
Right.
Is that. And
agreed.
When you're coming in, we're knowing, hey, he's coming in for whatever. And some of the stuff, it's like, we got one guy comes in all the time for this one ammo, and he's like, "No other gun shop carries it." We're like, "Well, we know you like it."
Right.
So we'll keep a couple boxes on the shelf for you.
Yeah,
you know,
it's basically here for you.
Right. And, you know, if somebody else grabs a box and we sell out, then we'll order more.
Right.
It's not a big deal, you know. And so it's just the little stuff, you know, the little stuff.
Absolutely.
And
no, then, that's that family atmosphere that, you know, you build that trust, you build that relationship with people. That's important, and I think that's, like you said, I think that's something that is very unique and special about Southern Armory. What's happening in the store as far as...
Made in America sale went great, you know. We were in Florida, so I just hoped the boys didn't mess it up that bad, and I didn't get any calls that the store is on fire.
That's good.
And the regular customers that come in that have me and my wife's cell phone didn't call us saying the store's on fire.
That's good.
You know, so that was great. So went off without a hitch, and my wife came back, and I'm looking around. I'm like, man, the shelves and walls are kind of bare. And she's like, I'm going to start reordering. And I'm like, good call.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I got to go, or I guess this is Saturday. So Friday, you know, right. I went and got an order from Wholesaler. And so that's getting processed through. And then Saber, which is a great local company that carries pepper spray and tasers, not tasers, it's stun guns. That order's coming through as well. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, is made right here in Missouri, like QMAX products,
yeah.
is another awesome one down in Fenton. All that stuff's getting restocked. And you come in this week or the following week, you're going to have a bunch of stuff in there. And one of the guys I run on the ambulance with, he's actually a captain down at the ambulance district I'm at, said, hey, man, I need an AR. I said, well, I know a guy,
yeah.
right? So
we
him
can
and
make
I
that
are,
happen for you.
Him and I are texting back and forth, and he's like, well, you know, it's kind of a weird deal. And I'm thinking, like, all right, like, we're getting into a weird caliber or a weird configuration. He's like, it has to be 5.56. I'm like, uh-huh. He's like, it has to be a chrome line barrel. I'm like, uh-huh. Like, 1-7 twist? He's like, yeah, that'd be great. I was like, okay, what's the catch? And he's like, can you get it under $600? And I'm like, ooh, man, with chrome line barrel, we might be pushing it. Well, for some reason, I don't know, I guess the gods are smiling on him because... we got a sell flyer, and I'm like, hey, dude, yes.
Nice.
not just, like, barely under 600, like, under way under 600.
Nice.
I think it worked out to, like, 550 or 560.
Yeah, that's
so,
cool.
So he was, like, thrilled. So
that's great.
So we've got a few of those that will be in store, and the sale, I think, goes to August. So really, if we sell out, just come in and ask Jess or I. For that gun that's like the 550, 560 mark, mm-hmm. and we'll know what it is, and if it's still available, you know, we'll order it.
Right.
It's not a big deal. We're absolutely happy to do it for you guys.
That's so cool.
Still selling Blue Label guns. Got mm-hmm. a shipment of those coming in this week, so that'll be good. So we sold out a ton of the Blue Label stuff over the Made in America sale. Wasn't part of the Made in America sale. They're already heavily discounted anyway, but Blue Label is a... If you are a first responder, firefighter, EMT, paramedic, law enforcement, active duty military, retired from any of the above, and there's a few other stuff like a judge, a prosecuting attorney, you can come in and qualify
right.
on that program as well. So that's a great program to get a hold of. Certified Glock armor right here. As everybody knows, a couple weeks ago, I went and re-upped my Smith & Wesson M&P armor. They are going to be putting spare parts in the store now. We've been doing, I guess, enough of their
oh,
work
nice.
That they're like, hey, here's just a giant kit.
Yeah.
Keep it.
So if somebody has a Smith & Wesson firearm and they need
yeah.
pieces, they need parts.
They can come in.
They can come in and get
yeah.
the parts.
They can come in and get it, and we can install it for you.
Super cool.
You know, it's just kind of an interesting deal. Now, there's going to be a couple things that may break that we just can't fix. Barrels would be one of them. You get to replace that, and then the frame. They don't give us that. I don't think they give us a slide either. But it's pretty much all the individual pins and springs and, you know, you can think of it, you know, magazine release, safety, if you have a safety, et cetera, all that stuff will be in this kit. So if you break something, you're taking your gun apart, and under that rear sight, there's this little, like, plunger spring with a disc. It's there. I'm telling mm-hmm. you, it's there. So if you take it apart and it goes flying.
I promise.
It's going to come out. Don't worry. You know, just come in and bring your parts, bring your gun,
and you can replace
and
it.
And I'll put it back together
yeah.
for you. Not a big deal.
That's
so,
nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything, like, right now, this time of year, is there a fad happening of any kind? Is there a particular type of gun that is selling faster?
The smaller stuff.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's really concerned about concealed carry and getting their permit. And, you know, I don't need to tell anybody that the city is kind of in chaos. I was actually up until like 2 a.m. talking to a guy I know, and he was just like, man, this is wild. I'm thinking about going to the police academy so I can start making a difference in the city. And I was like, yeah, man, it's getting pretty wild. You know, everybody's all the law enforcement agencies are shorthanded and
especially the city.
Yeah, especially the city, and it's just a
by it's, well it's, over 100 officers.
Mm-hmm, and it's a thankless job for starters, you know, and so I don't think anybody's getting into law enforcement to be, you know, thanked for their service. You know, I don't think that that they're that egotistical, I think would be the probably the right word for that.
Right.
I think they're getting into it for the pure reasons, like to give back to the community, to make the community a safer place, etc. At least that's why I know I got into to fire and EMS was that reason, and I imagine law enforcement's the same exact way. So, you know, and so him and I were talking about it, and he's like, I got to get in the gym and lose weight. And I was like, dude, tell me about it. And you know, we were up to like 2 a.m. talking about what we thought the causes for everything was. And then, you know, we had the incident in Chesterfield and everything else we're going to talk about. And then it was just, you know, the city is very interesting right now. And now we have the federal government that's going to send a law enforcement task force in. That's kind of an older story. I'm still waiting on details on that, because I'd like to know what they're going to do to kind of curve it.
Yeah.
I don't think we're as bad as Chicago, but I think that we should nip it in the bud as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the city has a lot to do. The city's obviously got a lot of unique problems, but the biggest one with them is the residency issue that they're trying to eliminate.
Yeah, I think you'll pull in a lot more people
in the city to become a city police officer. And,
yeah, or a medic or a firefighter.
Of people, you know, graduating the academy or looking for a job that live in the area but don't technically live in St. Louis City.
Right.
That would probably take some of those jobs.
Absolutely.
But they are ineligible because of this rule that both the police chief and the mayor are trying to eliminate. So that would help out a lot.
I know that I looked at city EMS, and if you want to be full-time there, you've got to live in the city. You can be part-time, but, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
But coming to Southern Armory, we'd love to meet you, talk with you, you know, learn about you, and then if you're looking for a gun, used gun, new gun, rare gun, you just let us know, because we write that down and then we call you. That's one thing that we definitely do, and it's just, if you're a really lucky person, we've had guys that literally recall like the next week, like, hey, this gun came in used, do you want it? You know, and they're like, yeah, absolutely. So you can stop in, see us. We're located at 9901 Watson Road. That's 1 mile east of 270 and 44 and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what it is. We have a great show for you. Aaron mentioned the shooting in Chesterfield. Actually, it wasn't a shooting.
It was a discharge.
It was a shots fired.
Yeah.
It was a firearm discharge at the one of the outlet malls in Chesterfield made news this week. I want to talk to him about the legalities involved in that situation. It was a, for those of you that don't know, it was a person who was attempting to stop a crime against himself and fired the weapon in the air in an attempt to try to scare off the people that were assaulting him. So talk to Aaron about is that the way to handle it? How do you handle a situation like that? Talk about the laws involved. Also, we're going to talk to our buddy Mike McCleary, the owner of Intervine Flashlight. Mike, he's got a new deal for you, and we're going to talk to him about it next. Don't go anywhere. Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk, 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk, 97.1. Tony Colombo, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory in studio with Chad Ellis, our producer. And as I mentioned in the last second, joining us on the phone, one of the fine sponsors of this program, a good friend of ours, Intervine owner Mike McCleary. Mike, Flashlight Mike, as we have affectionately referred to him.
Yeah,
Mike, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Going awesome. Just got back from Vegas, and I'm ready to sell some lanterns and flashlights to anyone who might need them, especially those facing those storms in the South this past week.
Yeah. So, you know, every time we talk, I think to myself, how exciting can a discussion about flashlights and lanterns be? But then we always learn about what you guys are working on with some of these products at Intervine, and it actually is some amazing stuff. All the gadgets all the accessories that you have on the lanterns, like battery chargers, and the way that you guys can now basically bend glass, bend light bulbs to throw the light in all different directions and more utilize the lanterns and flashlights that you guys have. So it really is some fascinating technology, and you guys are right at the cutting edge of it. So for people who aren't familiar with Intervine, just give the quick basic description of who you guys are and where you came from.
Yeah, so Intervine's been around now for about 7 years. We've been making the brightest, longest-lasting lanterns and flashlights we possibly can. Everyone in my family, both my own and extended family, loves to travel, loves to camp. So it just seemed like the perfect fit when we weren't finding the right products for us to figure out how to make those products. And like you mentioned, Tony, there's lots of different products out there. You can get a flashlight, you can get a lantern that's bright, you can get a lantern that's got like red lights on it for stargazing, you can get a power bank, you can get a rechargeable lantern. We decided just like throw all that into one.
Yes.
So, you know, our latest lantern has everything you talked about. It's like the Internova 1000 XL. It's only been out for a month now, and this thing is just doing awesome. Where we went on vacation 2 weeks ago to Hilton Head, mm-hmm. brought that, and our two kids not only were able to sit outside by the pool from the house we rented, they were able to charge their phones with it as well because it has a built-in power bank. It runs off of rechargeable batteries. It uses regular batteries. It has this curved LED light, which is just crazy, that shoots light everywhere. And that product it's amazing for families and campers, anyone prepping or doing anything outside.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I need to send you a picture that I took the other day of me and my 2-year-old son. We were out, I was barbecuing. The sun had gone down. We were out on our deck. He was catching lightning bugs and I was cooking. And then I kind of was walking around. I think we played a game that we were picking up sticks in the backyard. It was his thing, right? So I had my headlamp on because I was using it from time to time to look at the, you know, what I was grilling and that kind of thing. And he wanted a headlamp desperately because I had one on and I actually have two. So it's me and him walking around our backyard, both with our headlamps on, playing pickup sticks. And it's the cutest picture of this kid with his headlamp on, and he thinks he's just the coolest guy in town with it. And you know, we find a way to use those Intervine products, I think, more than people realize. You know, like you think to yourself, well, maybe somebody who doesn't camp a whole lot, you know, why would I need a lantern or why would I need a headlamp? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're outside. I had a tire. I had a blowout a couple weeks ago. And thank God I had my little Intervine flashlight in my truck, because without it, I would have been, I would have been draining SOL. The battery on my, yeah, exactly. I've been draining the battery on my cell phone, and hopefully it would have been charged up enough. But, you know, you never know when those lanterns and those flashlights and headlamps are going to come in handy. And and you guys are right on the cutting edge of all that technology.
It's funny because I have that picture of me and my wife and daughter out grilling in our garage.
Yeah.
And sometimes me and my wife are pulling out the flashlight and turning on the flashlight on the phone.
Yeah.
To see the meat.
Exactly.
So, we were coming back from Florida and we hit, you wouldn't believe me if I told you, but I got pictures, hair weave. And it got in the right rear brake and pushed the rear pad, like, I guess it wouldn't let the retract or whatever.
Right.
Held it against the rotor. So we get to Memphis, and we stop, you know,
up in the brakes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm hearing like a grinding, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it's really weird. It feels like I'm hauling a trailer, you know, and I got a 20-foot enclosed trailer, and we started the gun shop off gun show. So I was hauling trailers all the time. And I was like, feels like something's up with the brakes, but I'm stopping. I'm just not stopping, you know, great. So we get Yuengling, which is like our favorite beer, and you can only get it in like, you know, east of the Mississippi and not quite into Illinois. So my wife's in the grocery store and getting beer, and I pull out the freaking phone and I'm peeking at my brake pads and I'm like, well, there's pad there. I have no idea what's going on. Then we get home the next day, I walk out and I saw, like, what is that hanging out from, you know, inside the tire? And I had to, you know, cut it out with a knife, and then I pulled the tire off and saw that. I'm thinking, like, man, an Intervine flashlight would probably have been slightly handy. I mean, I'm not saying I'm doing a brake change on the side of the road, but
you might have been able to more identify the problem.
Right, or pull the hair weave out or something, because the pad was kind of wearing. It was
you know,
ridiculous.
Mike, that actually, those couple of stories kind of make me think of that. When I was young, when I was 16, And I think a lot of people listening are like this. We were always told the few things that you should have in your car. You know, some people always, like my grandma always said, you keep a blanket in your back
seat.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Keep a flashlight in your glove box. There was these things that you were just supposed to carry with you. And I think that some people think like, oh, my phone has a flashlight on it now. Yeah. I don't need to carry those things in the car anymore. And kind of to Aaron's story there, the cell phone flashlight, while is, you know, it can be cool and handy.
Convenient.
Yeah,
but not,
really doesn't,
not great.
Doesn't even compare to what you guys have at Intervine and how much more helpful an Intervine flashlight could be.
Oh, no, I agree. You know, we in our house, you know, we have three drivers now. Well, actually, as I tell you a little bit in a few minutes, you'll find out we're soon to have four. But we always, everyone in our house has a flashlight and they have one of our lanterns with a power bank. Because you just never know when you're going to be out somewhere, like going hiking, and you want a little extra juice, just bring a little power bank. We have those, you throw them in your backpack. They're awesome for that.
Yeah, that is great. And, you know, we have a brand new driver in our house also. Last week, my daughter turned 16, and I sure enough took, I don't know the name of it, the little one, that and I have a little, the little Intervine flashlight that I keep in my glove box as well. I threw it in her glove box and made sure she knew it was in there. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Oh, that's,
that
is it the one with the little zoom lens on it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's the Starling. Yeah, that thing is small but mighty. You can you can zoom to really wide where it shines up every single thing in front of you.
Yes.
You can narrow that beam down and throw that thing 100 yards and it fits in the palm of your hand.
It is, and it is stronger. I've been at my buddy's farm and been out in the pitch black at the farm, and he's gone and gotten an old battery powered flashlight out of a drawer somewhere, and I've gone and gotten that out of my glove box, and who knows when the last time I freaking put batteries in it, and it was twice as bright as his full-size flashlight that he was holding. So, yeah, I mean, and that's
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just everything with Intervine. You know, you guys, we've talked about it, local, family-owned company, started right here in the St. Louis area. You've expanded to pretty much being a national company, especially on Amazon with the 4.9 seller rating, which is just absolutely amazing. Proves that dedication that you guys have to your customers. Last month, you rolled out a special June offer that kind of revolved around the St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup. You never tell me ahead of time except that, yes, you do have a new offer, but even I don't know what it is. So you want to talk about what the July special at Intervine.com is?
Yeah, you're going to love this because, again, like I hope people believe us. We don't plan this stuff out because I did not realize this past week that your daughter turned 16 because my daughter turned 16.
Uh-huh, there you go.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
Funny story. So
that's hilarious.
You know, the thing, here's what I was thinking, like, what am I going to do this month to thank our customers? And also, you know, kind of like, I'm incredibly proud of her. She's just an amazing girl. And I want to do something kind of in her name. So I decided she turned 16. Let's have a special promotion running all month just for, you know, our special 971 listeners here. And the way I decided what the discount was, 16% isn't enough, not for like, you know, our fans here. But I decided the age that she's going to be at when I'm going to allow her to date is a percentage I'll give off. So this month, 30% off because she ain't dating anyone until she's 30 years old.
I love it. That's awesome. So 30% off. Is that across the board on all the products?
It is across the board.
Nice.
On all the products. And they can, you know, they can get that, Tony, either on our website, Intervine.com, Intervine.com, and use your name, T-O-N-Y, as a discount. Or they can go to Amazon, and we create up this special link, takes them right there. If they go to Intervine.com/Tony, that'll just redirect them right to our special store on Amazon. It's a private store. You can't get there unless you have that link that we give out here, that'll automatically apply that same 30-year-old dating availability, 30% discount page right there on the link.
I love it. That is great. And, you know, we talk a lot about the, obviously, because that's your bread and butter, the flashlights and the lanterns and the headlamps, but also batteries. I stocked up on batteries about a month ago, and it was incredible. I used, of course, the discount code, Tony, and I got I think it was 40 AAAs and 36 AAs, and it was less than $20 for 50-something battery. I mean, it was an incredible deal. So don't forget about the batteries when you're shopping on Intervine.com as well, or at Intervine.com/Tony if you're shopping on Amazon. And so, yeah, so it's flashlights, lanterns, headlamps, batteries, even the rechargeable batteries, right? You can get it all on the website.
Absolutely. Everything we sell will be on there. If, you know, people are listening to this show before Prime Day comes up on Amazon, we don't normally share this as well. You can double dip on the savings. We're going to have some awesome Prime Day savings on Amazon. But if you go to that link, that intervine.com/Tony, you'll get the 30% off plus whatever crazy deals we have going on Prime Day on Amazon. It'll be like a madhouse on Prime Day. Just letting everyone know that it's only good for a couple of days, but right, you're hearing this now. Take advantage of it.
That is amazing, and you definitely do need to take advantage of it. 30% off for the month of July on all the products at Intervine.com, Intervine.com. Use my name, Tony, as your discount code. 30% off flashlights, lanterns, headlamps, batteries, all of it. And if you prefer to shop on Amazon, as Mike said, go to intervine.com/Tony. You'll be on the special store with the discount, the 30% discount automatically applied as well. Besides Amazon and the internet, is there any other way to follow? You guys have any social media at Intervine?
Yeah, you can definitely check us out. We're on Facebook, of course, with Intervine. We're on Twitter. We try to get around everywhere we can be. Just check us out. Post questions there. We have, I'm confident in this, the absolute best customer service in the entire industry. If you shoot us an email at care@intervine.com or hop on Facebook and send us a message, someone will get back to you right away. Make sure we answer any questions you might have.
All right. Mike McCleary from Intervine, Intervine.com. Intervine.com. Go take advantage of the 30% off. Use my name, Tony, as your discount code, and you will have 30% off everything. Mike, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You bet. And we got to take another break, but we've got more to go. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with my partner Aaron Tarlow. Producer Chad Ellis here also. Big thank you to Mike McCleary from Intervine for being on with us. Don't miss this 30% off special for the month of June at Intervine.com. Just use my name, Tony, as your discount code, and you can get 30% off everything on the website. Great stuff there. I wanted to spend the rest of the show here talking about some of the news of the day. A very interesting story, very close to home. People probably are familiar with I keep wanting to call it a shooting, but it's not a shooting. It was a shots fired situation. Nobody was injured at the one of the St. Louis Premium Outlets Mall in Chesterfield. Apparently, the way that the story has been relayed by police is that two people approached a man in the mall and attempted to
abduct him.
Yeah. Attempted kidnapping.
Yeah, that would be the legal term would be kidnapping.
Yeah,
and
so when they did that, this guy pulled his gun and shot it in the sky. I think fired five shots in the air.
I didn't hear how many.
In an attempt to scare
them off,
the people that are trying to kidnap him, and apparently it worked.
Yeah.
Apparently they ran.
They took off,
and then he was able to call police and explain what happened.
Right. Which is the right thing to do. So
the firing it in the air?
No,
calling
the police. So if you discharge a firearm, even if you don't discharge a firearm, you simply draw it out, it'd be a good idea to call the cops.
Okay. Would you say, is this how you would teach a student to defend themselves in this situation?
Yeah.
Or is this are we in like a weird area here?
This is a super weird area.
Where you might legally be better off actually shooting the person.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm going at. I was like, well, I mean, his head was right in the fact that he recognized that, hey,
kidnapping is a forcible felony.
This is a situation where I can...
I can definitely use a firearm. Yes. However, what I tell people is, if you're pulling that firearm out, you need to be A, willing to use it. So there was a very similar circumstance going on. So some people would call this like warning shots. So people don't understand like, why can't I just give a warning shot? Well, the Missouri statutes don't allow for warning shots. Mm-hmm. Another state that doesn't allow...
Which I understand that.
Right. Missouri doesn't allow for it. Another state that doesn't allow for it is also Florida. And if you type in Marissa Alexander case into Google, or you can just type in like Florida woman warning shots, this case will come up. And you can go to Wikipedia. Wikipedia's got most of the information in there, but a little synopsis of this is in May 2012, 31-year-old Marissa Alexander was prosecuted for aggravated assault with a lethal weapon and received a mandatory minimum sentence of 20 years in prison. Alexander said she fired a warning shot after her husband attacked her and threatened to kill her August 1st of 2010. And this is in Jacksonville, Florida. So for those of you like really in our gun community, living mm-hmm. kind of the lifestyle, you're probably like me and you've got your Facebook stream and your Google News and stuff kind of set up to pull certain stories. And so basically he tried to, you know, threaten to kill her, was beaten on her, et cetera. She went and got her gun and shot the door frame, I believe is what it was, above him. And it didn't hurt anybody, didn't hit anybody. But then he runs off, and what does he do? He calls the cops. First person to call the cops is treated as the victim. She's trying to explain to them, like, he was trying to kill me. He was beating me. He told me he was going to kill me. I was in fear for my life. I pulled out a gun. I gave a warning shot. Well, warning shots are not part of Florida's law either. So you can kind of see where this is going. She went to jail for quite a while and then ended up getting the sentence changed, right? So I'm not a proponent of warning shots, right? If you're going to pull out the firearm, mm-hmm. you probably should be willing to use it, mm-hmm. right? And I wouldn't even go with probably. You should be willing to use it. You need to be able to say, that's a forcible felony.
Right.
I'm in fear for my life or somebody else's life. There's a threat of serious bodily injury or death.
If you don't think you're the type of person that could even do that,
you probably shouldn't be carrying a gun. You should be looking at pepper spray. You should be looking at a taser. You should be looking at a stun gun.
Right.
So anyway,
this is fascinating to me. Because I'm sure this guy is thinking, I don't want to kill another person.
Right.
And I also don't want to be kidnapped and killed myself.
Right.
And, so I'm going to split the difference,
right,
and not kill them and shoot these in the sky to make them run away.
Right.
But in doing so, he may have gotten himself in a little bit of trouble.
Right, for discharging a firearm. So, you know, probably, honestly, if I was a betting man, he's probably not going to get charged.
Right.
He could be charged.
But for the case, but for just examining the law,
right,
and for a thought experiment on how you should handle this.
Yeah, he should have. Honestly, if he would have pulled it out and pointed it at him, he probably would have had the same effect.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I'm not saying I've had to point guns at people, but maybe I've had to point a gun or two at people, and the attitude immediately changes.
Yeah.
One of our, and we talk, I talk about the couple instances in the CCW class. One was we were in a drive-thru, Taco Bell, and a guy in front of us was on drugs, drunk, take your pick, and he had previously, unknown to me and my wife, had threatened the staff inside at the drive-thru. We were pulling up as he was pulling away. And then he was angry, got out and told me, hey, get out of the truck, Billy. I know who you are. I know you've been talking mad smack on me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you the beating of your life. You're never going to forget me. And I'm looking at this dude like, is this guy serious? Like, my name's not Billy, man. My name's Aaron. I'm trying to explain this to him. I'm trying to de-escalate the situation. Just, right. You know, hey, man, you got me confused with another dude. Another handsome fellow
right.
with a voice for radio.
Yeah, another strikingly handsome man.
Who's driving a red Dodge pickup.
Yeah.
And so that's
like,
that's not
don't play with games with me, Billy. Get out of the car.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So then he decides he's going to try to break the window out of mm-hmm. the truck. Now, I only rolled down the window about, you can't see this on the radio, but maybe like an inch. Just so we could conversate, because I don't know who this dude is. Rolling the window down all the way is absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
So now he's like hitting the window, prying the window out, grabbing the door handle. He's trying to get in the truck. And, you know, I'm like, dude, really? You know, so I take my gun out of my holster and I set it in my lap and And I'm like, you know, my wife is now, we're dating at the time. I'm like, this relationship's probably over, but I don't care. I'm not getting beat, you know? And I'm like, hey, man, you know, go away. You got me confused. And I'm waiting for the window to break, because as soon as the window breaks, that barrier that's separating him from me is gone.
Right.
He can now get in the truck. He can hurt me. He can hurt my wife. He's already threatened great bodily injury, right? I thought he was reading the statute to me when he told me I was going to give you the beating of your life. And I'm like, really? Is this guy serious?
Yeah.
So,
this is textbook stuff.
I start seeing the window bowing. Uh-huh. So, and you know, the windows will bow a little bit, but then they
shatter.
Yeah, they break.
Yep.
So I go ahead and I take the gun. I pick it up. I tap the window with it so I know where it is, because some people want to press the gun against the window and it takes out a battery. It's something we teach in our advanced pistol class. And I tap the window with it so I know where the window is, and then I pull it back consciously just a little bit so that way the gun will work. And he like focuses on the end of the pistol. And he's like, are you going to shoot me? I was like, yeah, get away from me. Like, I'm not playing with you. Like, pull on that window and
I'm
break it.
I'm not Billy.
Yeah.
And I'm not playing with
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not playing a game, you know?
And he's gone.
And he left. So then, you know, the cops ended up getting called and everything else. And it was just a giant, giant mess. And they were like, the people in Taco Bell were like, yeah, the guy was like threatening us. He was going to come kill us. And then he started this fight with the dude in the drive-thru. And then, of course, the drive-thru security cameras pointed right at us. And the cops were like, well, we'll go try to find him. And then we never heard anything about it again.
But that's exactly how you should handle that situation.
Yeah, if you're going to pull it out, you know, you have to wait for that barrier to be gone, right?
So,
and this guy probably should have pulled it out, and they probably would have ran away. But he should have been calling the cops going, hey, these two people just tried to abduct me.
Only a couple minutes left, and I just find this fascinating. So if I'm in a CCW class at Southern Armory, and I illustrate this exact situation. I say, Aaron, I'm in the mall, or I'm walking at night,
right?
And I'm on my sidewalk, and a couple of guys pull up or run up on me, and they are trying to kidnap me. They're trying to abduct me. They're trying to take me away. I have my gun on me. What do you instruct them to do?
So,
pull it out and show it to them? Out and shoot them?
Yep.
Pull it out and shoot it in the sky?
Pull it out and shoot them. And what is going to happen, and I always tell people, like, this is a very fluid situation, right? And with our guy, as soon as he saw the gun, it de-escalated it.
Yeah.
So more than likely, people know that draw motion, especially people that are constantly, you know, like, I hate to say it, like, you know, criminals, and they're constantly engaging in a type of behavior, and they've probably had guns pointed at them before, but they know, like, this 90-degree elbow break. And we talk about it in class, something you should be looking for, too, because it's a tip-off of when somebody's going to draw a gun, especially out of the waistband. You think about it, you're reaching in your pockets, your arms are straight.
Right.
Reaching for something in your waistband, you can see
that
there's 90-degree break.
Yep.
So with all that being said, that's the tall tale sign of a draw stroke is that 90-degree break. They're going to be familiar with this, too. And if they're not, when you pull out the gun, they're going to recognize that as a gun. And whatever they're doing, they're going to be like, oh, man, I was just kidding. You know, and they're going to immediately try to de-escalate it. And so it would be wrong to shoot them in the back, right, as they're like running away from you. So keep that in mind. So when you're pulling out a pistol, it's one of those things. It's like, will it continue or will it stop, and will they back off? And there's going to be that decision making process in there on their part, just like there's an on your part where you got the fight or flight or the pause or the deer in headlights look. So
fascinating
stuff. This stuff's talked about in the CCW class. I encourage you to come down to Southern Armory and take a class. Or get in our firearms training simulator, because this exact scenario is in that simulator several times over.
That is great information. That is what Second Amendment Radio is all about right there. Great information, and you can get more if you have questions. You can always go to the Southern Armory Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Of course, we have the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page as well. If you have more questions for Aaron, you can always send them to those Facebook pages. We'll try to answer them on the air, and he'll answer them right there on Facebook for you as well. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio. For my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week back here on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with my partner Aaron Tarlow. Producer Chad Ellis here also. Big thank you to Mike McCleary from Intervine for being on with us. Don't miss this 30% off special for the month of June at Intervine.com. Just use my name, Tony, as your discount code and you can get 30% off everything on the website. Great stuff there. Wanted to spend the rest of the show here talking about some of the news of the day. A very interesting story, very close to home. People probably are familiar with the, I keep wanting to call it a shooting, but it's not a shooting. It was a shots fired situation. Nobody was injured at the one of the St. Louis Premium Outlets Mall in Chesterfield. Apparently, the way that the story has been relayed by police is that two people approached a man in the mall and attempted to
abduct him.
Attempted kidnapping.
Yeah, that would be the legal term would be kidnapping.
Yeah,
and
so when they did that, this guy pulled his gun and shot it in the sky, I think five times, fired five shots in the air.
I didn't hear how many.
In an attempt to scare
them off,
the people that are trying to kidnap him. And apparently it worked.
Yeah.
Apparently they ran.
They took off.
And then he was able to call police and explain what happened.
Right. Which is the right thing to do. So,
The firing it in the air?
No,
Calling
the police. So if you discharge a firearm, even if you don't discharge a firearm, you simply draw it out. It'd be a good idea to call the cops.
Okay. Would you say, is this how you would teach a student to defend themselves in this situation? Or are we in like a weird area here?
This is a super weird area.
Where you might legally be better off actually shooting the person.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm going at. His head was right in the fact that he recognized that, hey, kidnapping is a forcible felony.
This is a situation where I can
definitely use a firearm. However, what I tell people is, if you're pulling that firearm out, you need to be willing to use it. So there was a very similar circumstance going on. So some people would call this like warning shots. So people don't understand like, well, can I just give a warning shot? Well, the Missouri statutes don't allow for warning shots. Mm-hmm. Another state that doesn't
allow. Which I
understand
that.
Right. Missouri doesn't allow for it. Another state that doesn't allow for it is also Florida. And if you type in Marissa Alexander case into Google, or you can just type in like Florida woman warning shots, this case will come up. And you can go to Wikipedia. Wikipedia's got most of the information in there, but a little synopsis of this is in May 2012, 31-year-old Marissa Alexander was prosecuted for aggravated assault with a lethal weapon and received a mandatory minimum sentence of 20 years in prison. Alexander said she fired a warning shot after her husband attacked her and threatened to kill her August 1st of 2010. And this is in Jacksonville, Florida. So for those of you like really in our gun community, living kind of the lifestyle, you're probably like me and you've got your Facebook stream and your Google News and stuff kind of set up to pull certain stories. And so basically he tried to, you know, threaten to kill her, was beaten on her, etc. She went and got her gun and shot the door frame, I believe is what it was, above him. And it didn't hurt anybody, didn't hit anybody. But then he runs off and what does he do? He calls the cops. First person to call the cops is treated as the victim. She's trying to explain to them, like, he was trying to kill me. He was beating me. He told me he was going to kill me. I was in fear for my life. I pulled out a gun. I gave a warning shot. Well, warning shots are not part of Florida's law either. So you can kind of see where this is going. She went to jail for quite a while and then ended up getting the sentence changed, right? So I'm not a proponent of warning shots, right? If you're going to pull out the firearm, you probably should be willing to use it, right? And I wouldn't even go with probably. You should be willing to use it. You need to be able to say, that's a forcible felony.
Right.
I'm in fear for my life or somebody else's life. There's a threat of serious bodily injury or death.
If you don't think you're the type of person that could even do that,
you probably shouldn't be carrying a gun.
You should
be looking at pepper spray. You should be looking at a taser. You should be looking at a stun gun.
Right.
So anyway,
this is fascinating to me because I'm sure this guy is thinking, I don't want to kill another person.
Right.
And, but I also don't want to be kidnapped and killed myself.
Right.
And, so I'm going to split the difference.
Right.
And not kill them and shoot these in the sky to make them run away.
Right.
But in doing so, he may have gotten himself in a little bit of trouble.
Right, for discharging a firearm. So, you know, probably, honestly, if I was a betting man, he's probably not going to get charged.
Right.
He could be charged.
But for the case, but for just examining the law.
Right.
And for a thought experiment on how you should handle this.
Yeah, he should have. Honestly, if he would have pulled it out and pointed it at him, he probably would have had the same effect.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I'm not saying I've had to point guns at people, but maybe I've had to point a gun or two at people, and the attitude immediately changes.
Yeah.
One of our, and we talk, I talk about the couple instances in the CCW class. One was we were in a drive-thru, Taco Bell, and a guy in front of us was on drugs, drunk, take your pick, and he had previously, unknown to me and my wife, had threatened the staff inside. At the drive-thru, we were pulling up as he was pulling away, and then he was angry, got out and told me, "Hey, get out of the truck, Billy. I know who you are. I know you've been talking mad smack on me, and I'm going to give you the beating of your life. You're never going to forget me." And I'm looking at this dude like, "Is this guy serious? Like, my name's not Billy, man. My name's Aaron. I'm trying to explain this to him. I'm trying to de-escalate the situation. Just, right. You know, hey, man, you got me confused with another dude that's another handsome fellow
right.
with a voice for radio.
Yeah, another strikingly handsome man.
Who's driving a red Dodge pickup.
Yeah.
And so that's
like,
that's not
don't play with games with me, Billy. Get out of the car.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So then he decides he's going to try to break the window out of the truck. Now I only rolled down the window about you can't see this on the radio, but maybe like an inch, just so we could conversate, because I don't know who this dude is. Rolling the window down all the way is absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
So now he's like hitting the window, prying the window out, grabbing the door handle. He's trying to get in the truck, and you know I'm like, dude, really? You know, so I take my gun out of my holster and I set it in my lap and. And I'm like, you know, my wife is now, we're dating at the time. I'm like, this relationship's probably over, but I don't care. I'm not getting beat, you know? And I'm like, hey, man, you know, go away. You got me confused. And I'm waiting for the window to break, because as soon as the window breaks, that barrier that's separating him from me is gone.
Right.
He can now get in the truck. He can hurt me. He can hurt my wife. He's already threatened great bodily injury, right? I thought he was reading the statute to me when he told me I was going to give you the beating of your life. And I'm like, really? Is this guy serious?
Yeah.
So,
this is textbook stuff.
I start seeing the window bowing. Uh-huh. So, and you know, the windows will bow a little bit, but then they
shatter.
Yeah, they break.
Yep.
So I go ahead and I take the gun. I pick it up. I tap the window with it so I know where it is, because some people want to press the gun against the window and it takes out a battery. It's something we teach in our advanced pistol class. And I tap the window with it so I know where the window is, and then I pull it back consciously just a little bit so that way the gun will work. And he like focuses on the end of the pistol, and he's like, "Are you going to shoot me?" I was like, "Yeah, get away from me. Like, I'm not playing with you. Like, pull on that window and break it.
I'm not Billy.
Yeah.
And I'm not playing with
you. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not playing a game, you know?
And he's gone.
And he left. So then, you know, we ended up, the cops ended up getting called and everything else, and it was just a giant, giant mess. And they were like, people in Taco Bell were like, yeah, the guy was, like, threatening us. He was going to come kill us. And then he started this fight with the dude in the drive-thru. And then, of course, the drive-thru security cameras pointed right at us. And the cops were like, "Well, we'll go try to find him," and then we never heard anything about it again.
But that's exactly how you should handle that situation.
Yeah, if you're going to pull it out, you know, you have to wait for that barrier to be gone, right?
So,
this guy probably should have pulled it out, and they probably would have ran away. But he should have been calling the cops, going, "Hey, these two people just tried to abduct me."
Only a couple minutes left, and I just find this fascinating. So, if I'm in a CCW class at Southern Armory, and I illustrate this exact situation. I say, "Aaron, I'm in the mall, or I'm walking at night,
right?
And I'm on my sidewalk, and a couple of guys pull up or run up on me, and they are trying to kidnap me. They're trying to abduct me. They're trying to take me away. I have my gun on me. What do you instruct them to do?
So,
pull it out and show it to them? Out and shoot them?
Yep.
Pull it out and shoot it in the sky?
Pull it out and shoot them. And what is going to happen, and I always tell people, like, this is a very fluid situation, right? And with our guy, as soon as he saw the gun, it de-escalated it.
Yeah.
So more than likely, people know that draw motion, especially right. people that are constantly, you know, like, I hate to say it, like, you know, criminals, and they're constantly engaging in a type of behavior, and they've probably had guns pointed at them before, but they know, like, this 90-degree elbow break. And we talk about it in class, something you should be looking for, too, because it's a tip-off of when somebody's going to draw a gun, mm-hmm. especially out of the waistband. You think about it, you're reaching in your pockets, your arms are straight.
Right.
Reaching for something in your waistband, you can see that there's 90-degree break.
Yep.
So with all that being said, that's the tall tale sign of a draw stroke is that 90-degree break. They're going to be familiar with this, too. And if they're not, when you pull out the gun, they're going to recognize that as a gun. And whatever they're doing, they're going to be like, oh, man, I was just kidding. You know, and they're going to immediately
yep.
try to de-escalate it. And so it would be wrong to shoot them in the back, right, as they're like running away from right. you. So keep that in mind. So when you're pulling out a pistol, it's one of those things. It's like, will it continue or will it stop, and will they back off? And there's going to be that decision making process in there on their part, just like there's and on your part, where you got the fight or flight or the pause or the deer in headlights right. look. So
fascinating
stuff. Is this stuff's talked about in the CCW yeah. class. I encourage you to come down to Southern Armory and take a class. Or get in our firearms training simulator, because this exact scenario is in that simulator several times over.
That is great information. That is what Second Amendment Radio is all about right there. Great information, and you can get more if you have questions. You can always go to the Southern Armory Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Of course, we have the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page as well. If you have more questions for Aaron, you can always send them to those Facebook pages. We'll try to answer them on the air, and he'll answer them right there on Facebook for you as well. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio. For my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week back here on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.